Welcome to Late Night Poetry Jam on KKRN Community Radio. I am Pamela Spoto, poet and host.
In my heart, in my brain, on my tongue, behind my teeth. Behind my eyes, on my tongue, under my skin, in my heart. In my veins, under my skin, behind my teeth, on my tongue, on my tongue, on my tongue.
We are broadcasting from KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain. We will host a bi-monthly poetry show the last Saturday of the month at 10 p.m. So here we go, Late Night Poetry Jam. We're very lucky to have Sarah Hoxie in the studio tonight, and she's going to be doing poetry and music. And I know that this is called Late Night Poetry Jam. However, poetry and music seem to be really a natural fit. And so I'd like to say a little bit about Sarah before we begin, and that, as I mentioned, she's a musician, a poet, a teacher, and she didn't want me to forget that she is also a naturalist. And her latest CD is called Waterfall Boy, and we might be hearing some cuts from that as well. So we're going to begin with a little bit of an interview. And Sarah, could you tell us a little bit about what you mean by naturalist? How are you a naturalist?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A naturalist, in my definition, is someone who studies the natural environment, the different relationships in that, the relationships of everything to everything, and tries to teach that. And I do it with children. So I take kids out and teach them a lot about what's going on in the woods and out wherever we go. I work at a charter school where we spend one day a week out in the woods or out somewhere on field study. And I've been doing this kind of work for years and years and years. So I draw a lot of my inspiration from doing that.
And so you work at a charter school in the Palo Cedro area.
Yes.
Now. And before that, though, you were working at a school that was basically focused on the environment. Is that right?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was a naturalist in several different outdoor schools, which are five-day residential programs where kids come from different schools and different school districts, and they come and they stay. And usually it's a five-day program, so there's evening campfires and educational programs. And then the days are spent in different ecosystems and different environments. So sometimes it's the marsh or the tide pools or the forest or the chaparral, any of those places. And here in Redding, I spent a lot of time at the river and out in the Arboretum. We just went up to Whiskeytown. So there are a lot of places here, too. That was down on the Central Coast, and it was a fabulous place to live and work. And I directed, and I also just taught, and it was a huge part of my foundation.
How do you see your connection with nature relating to your poetry and music?
Well, you know, it's hard to know what drives music and what drives poetry, but definitely themes kind of come out of wherever they come from. And the muse, I guess that's where the muse comes through me, is from that well of I guess my background and the knowledge and it's always been kind of a spiritual journey. So I think that's where it just draws out of there. It's what I know. And so that's where it comes from.
And I know that when we got together and talked about a week ago, and I hadn't seen you for some time as well, and it was a really interesting conversation, and you had mentioned some themes in your writing. And one theme that you have, you said, is place-based, and another is science-based. And this is where your environmental themes, kind of a subsection of the science-based. And then you mentioned, you write metaphysical stuff, and you said this is not the normal stuff.
It's true. No, I've been accused of that. I write science stuff for grown-ups. And I have some songs that are very much based in geologic time, space, planets. I have a friend down in the Bay Area who is actually down on the Central Coast, who's a wonderful inspiration for me. He writes children's songs, and his stuff is sung all over the country. And I really wanted to be like Steve. I wanted to write songs like he did, but he writes children's stuff, and I cannot. Even though I'm a kindergarten teacher, I cannot write children's music to save my life. So I write it for adults. And I've had people say, oh, your stuff is not the typical, it's not the typical subject matter. So...
Well, good. That means that you're unique.
Well, that is true. I don't know what genre you'd call it, but yes, unique.
So one more question before you either read a poem or play a song. You had mentioned that this is not really a question. It's kind of an elaboration that you come from a long line of musicians. And you had also mentioned that you have a sister in Nashville, and that's rather exciting. But you have like your parents and your grandfather or your grandmother. They were also musicians. Who was the piano player?
Right. I have, my grandparents, going back, my father's father was a pianist, and he used to sit down with there was a baby grand, and he would just rip out an Art Tatum tune or whatever, and he just did it all by rote. And my maternal grandmother was a piano teacher. She graduated from Berkeley way back when and came up here and taught music and went into little towns like Etna and taught music. My father has a beautiful voice. He's in his 80s now, but he's a wonderful singer. My mother has a beautiful head for lyrics, and she just remembers everything she ever heard. Both of my brothers and my sister all play the guitar. And my sister lives in Nashville. She's a singer-songwriter, and she's a nurse, but she has a studio in her basement, and she's married to a drummer. And they're in Nashville, and they do the whole Nashville thing, and it's awesome. So she's written a lot of songs, and she even has a platinum record under her belt from a song that she wrote that went platinum. So she's definitely a wonderful songwriter.
Well, you're right. You come from a long line of musicians.
I do. And my children, I'm really proud of my kids. I have two sons and a daughter, and they all love music. And my youngest child has just learned to play the guitar, and he will not stop. So it's a good thing.
So what are you going to do for us first tonight? A poem or several poems?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do some poems.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay. So the first one that I want to do is this one here. And this is about forest fires. This was about the lightning complex that we had several years ago that took out a good chunk of the North State, so it's called Lightning Complex. The fires came from the sky, silver sucker punches to defenseless mountains. They just took it. In the morning, 10,000 hungry fires were seen marching towards each other, throwing forests into the sky, where they flew like angels to a world of dreams, blocking the sun, watching us all. The vapor of 1 million trees from tongues of clouds. Now the siege is ending. The human mind contrived to stop the flames, and I cannot say what is right, what is the proper voice of earth and fire. I cannot see the future, but I can see the mountains. Their hearts beat just below the skin.
Wow.
And there's another one called Walking on the Queen Lily Road. And I'm going to read this one. And the reason I'm going to read it is because of the location, because I do write place-based poetry and music, and it's all pretty much Northern California. So I wrote this probably 7 or 8 years ago after visiting the Chips Creek area up on the Feather and on the Feather River in the North Fork. And I just camped up there, and I call this poem Walking on the Queen Lily Road. The road is actually Caribou Road, and But there was a campground there, and it was the Queen Lily Campground, and I thought that was a better name for a road. So that's what I, why I call this walking on the Queen Lily Road. Up the Queen Lily Road, there is a bridge that spans the North Fork. It is almost as old as the Ferris Gorge, the glass-patterned snakes, the hands of the sun. There are angles in that canyon geometry can't explain, places where gravity only dreams, like up on the edge, the rim. Anyone perched there would need to decide which way to fall. That canyon wrestles with deep places that shudder and throw about time, and time is not concerned. I don't know if it's blood or iron spattered on the pavement, but it's waiting for the rain to come and spell its name through the ringing of heavy clouds. Up the Queen Lily Road, there is skunk cabbage, watercress, and a fish in the river beneath a boulder, waiting, like everything does, for the stonefly hatch. There may be a mine shaft, a mouth in the earth, spitting balls, spitting bats like words into the evening heat. I walked that road in the morning one day last summer in order to look closer at granite, as if the space between atoms explained warmth or the origins of all things within the spectrum of red light. I kept walking with my fragile life and my sweet thoughts, knowing I was watched but not regarded, not judged or valued, betrayed or forgotten. I was a walker, a foreigner, leaving my scent and bits of my brown skin scattered on the black pavement of the Queen Lily Road.
That's a lovely poem.
Thank you.
And especially that ending, you know, that walking and your fragile life and the sweetness around that. There's something about walking and being out in nature. We're just really able to see more clearly and to see more.
And to see way in and way out. You know, those are perspectives that you know, I find sometimes places that are great places to go to draw inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that I read that is because the Chips Fire that took out a good chunk of the Feather River area, oh, I guess it was now last summer before last, was also right there on the Caribou Road. That's where it started. So so there's a song that goes with it now, and that's the song, Say a Prayer for Feather River. Would you like me to play that?
You know, I really would. I want to ask you one more question.
Okay.
before that, though. So in terms of, you know, poetry and music having an environmental theme and that sense of place, so you would... I mean, it sounds like that you do go camping, you spend time in nature, and so do you, what you see then, do you write about, or like with the Chips Fire, was that about you wanted to go out there and see what happened, or is it kind of a combination? Do you know what I mean?
It was grief. It was just, that song just came out of a place of just deep grief, knowing what was happening there. I wanted to stop it. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to stop the fire. So
and I want to remind the audience that we have Sarah Hoxie in the studio, and this is KKRN at 88.5 FM. So Sarah is going to be playing a song for us and say a prayer for Feather River. And you had mentioned that you at one point had lived in the Feather River Canyon area. And I think it's interesting, too, that Highway 70, and as we had been talking about, that if you're in Oroville and you want to go to Reno, people drive up Highway 70. And I haven't been that way for probably 20 years. Most people may not even see that, what's been going on in that area. So when you lived there, you said it was green and beautiful and lush and... And now what?
Well, yeah, it was a rugged canyon, and it still is. But there have just been some fairly substantial wildfires up there, and as there have been across the North State. And when I think about over the years, just since my childhood, how much the North State has changed, and I think continues to change, probably due to global warming, due to, you know, just the environmental conditions being what they are. I think we're going to continue to see more and more wildfires. And some of them, you know, people say, well, they'll come back. Well, I know, you know, Hay Fork Summit is not bouncing back. And that fire was back in the 60s. And I'm not seeing it. But in some places, you know, where there's good planting and good stewardship, it does. So I think it just depends on how we care for these areas. Some of them, though, are so rugged mm-hmm. and so difficult to get to that just fighting the fires and then doing any restoration is, you know, prohibitive. And
so did you say this song comes out of a place of grief?
Yeah, it really does. You know, when I wrote this during the fire and I would go out in my backyard and I'd see that column of smoke rising up, and it was just very physically, I had a visceral reaction to it.
Okay, let's hear it.
We can see the forest burning in the mountains to the east, tearing up the plumas like a crazed and savage beast. It started on the Caribou Road in the darkest of the night. By the time the hand crews found it, it had already taken flight. From Belden up to Seneca, the forests are ablaze, and they can't contain a fire line. They've been at it 15 days. There are dozers and there's choppers when the canyons are too steep. And there are weary firefighters wishing for a full night's sleep. Say a prayer for Feather River, it will never be the same. For that verdant rugged canyon has been taken by the flame. There the canyons are the deepest, and the August days are dry, and they cannot stop a wildfire, no matter how they try. If it finally gets to Almanor, they can try and stop it there, but it's always that there's lightning in the tinder box of air. Say a prayer for Feather River, it will never be the same. For that verdant rugged canyon has been taken by the flame. It's the fate of every forest, it can happen any year. And the stoic watch the column from a ridgetop somewhere near. They will tell you that it's nature. Some will say that it's God's plan, but inside their hearts are breaking for that sweet and ravaged land. Say a prayer for Feather River, it will never be the same for that verdant, rugged canyon has been taken by the flame. Oh, by the flame.
Thank you. That is very, very sad. And it's very prayerful. And it's very soulful.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't like to write sad songs, but sometimes they just are there and there's not much I can do.
I know.
Let them come out.
When we're witnessing what is happening sometimes around us in the environment, it's difficult for me anyway not to write sad, angry.
Angry
sad
stuff.
And angry poems. And but yours was such a it was a prayer. It was a prayer. And what is the title of the poem again? I mean,
it's called "Say a Prayer for Feather River."
Right, and it was a prayer. And that was it. Was very. It is very beautiful.
Thank you.
I forgot to tell the audience that I am sick. No, I have a cold, and Sarah has a cold, and our producer has been up since 3 a.m. And so, but we decided to go for it, and we're so good, we're just going to. do it anyway. And I'm going to read a poem. Sarah and I have been talking about the environment, and we were talking about the environment before the show tonight as well. And this is a different take. I suppose this is my sad and angry piece. A lot of mine are that. And when I think about nature, and the trees are beautiful, and I tell my students they are our lungs, you know? I mean, you know, sometimes people will say, it's just a tree, it's not human, you know? Well, breathe in, breathe out, you know, that this trees and the ocean, they are our lungs. And also the many species that live in nature, I believe we should honor. And I was on Facebook, unfortunately, about a month ago, and there was this photo of this young guy, 30s, 40s, maybe, in camouflage, and he was holding his rifle, and gun, I don't know what kind of gun, some long, big gun, and he was in camouflage, and he had his hat on, and he had this dead wolf that he just slaughtered right in front of him, and it was like, big smile, you know, and it was this wolf kill, and it's in several states, there are these massive wolf kills where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of wolves are killed. It's just incredible. It's so incredible. So I thought, my mind kept coming back to that photo, and it was really hard to look at, and I thought, I have to write a poem about this. And so this is a nature poem for me, an environmental poem for me. And as I thought about that, then I thought about trophy hunting. You know, I'm not talking about hunting for meat, but trophy hunting. And then also just sometimes people's celebration of violence and need to kill. And so this is what the poem is about. And so I'm going to read it.
Okay.
This is one of my latest pieces. It's called Fat Boy. I didn't have a title for it before, but somebody said I should call it Fat Boy. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want to kill for sport. I love to kill for sport. I want, I want, I want to kill for sport. It makes me smile. Just look at the photo. Holding the bloody wolf, I'm in camouflage, smiling ear to ear, my gun beside me, 181 wolves killed in 2 weeks. I love to kill for sport. I want to kill for sport. I kill big bear. I kill small coyotes. I kill the wildest wolves. I kill the rhino and the elephant. I love to kill. I love to kill for sport. A fat boy and his father out for a wild pig hunt. They see the biggest pig they've ever seen. They shoot him, of course, but he didn't die. They chase him
hour after hour after hour. His life force keeps him slowly moving. Fat Boy and Father finally find the pig. They kill him on the spot. Huge smiles, photos, guns, Fat Boy and Father standing over the gigantic pig. I love to kill for sport. I teach my kid to kill for sport. I want their oil, their energy. Send drones, send bombs, drop bombs. I love to kill for country and for sport. I want my smartphone, my computer, my toys. I kill for stuff. I want to kill. I love to kill. I am killing oceans. I am killing air. I am killing earth. All that's left is me and my smartphone.
I love your style, Pamela. I do.
Well, thank you.
That's a breathtaking piece.
So, I assume for musicians it would be the same way. But you're also a poet. I mean, they're one and the same. Is that I start obsessing about this guy that's smiling over this dead wolf that he just shot, or the man, the father and the son standing over the giant pig. It's in my mind, it won't go away. And I'm wondering too, like with the fire and the chips fire, if you, that must play in your mind about the beauty of this land and then the fire and the ash and the...
And the devastation.
And the devastation of it all.
And the utter frustration. And I think we all have that when it comes to just watching what's happening, you know, to the ecosystems here, to species on this planet, to the overall planet. There's a lot of passion, and I think a lot of desperation for those of us that can really see.
And I think that's a really good point for those of us that can really see, that kind of look up. And look out and really see what's happening. This is KKRN at 88.5 FM on the radio dial, and Sarah Hoxie is in the studio with us tonight. We've had a series of rather intense poems and music, and I think Sarah is now going to read a poem called Ode to
Autumn Glen and the Villages. So
okay, let's
and it's
that.
Another kind of sad poem, but we'll break out of this in a minute. But
well sad is good for now.
Yeah. Okay. So this poem is about there was a subdivision that went in Reading several years ago. It's still there, hasn't gone anywhere. And so the title of this piece is Ode to Autumn Glen and the Villages. Before Autumn Glen and the Villages, there was a forest with owls that burrowed in the old soil where pools of shooting stars laced perfect in February damp. Fat lizards there slumbered summer in its shade, cover for sparrow and finch, towhee overwintered in brush sustained by grace. That's all changed now. Bulldozers removed these in the midst of the nesting spring. It took a few days. A chipper ate whole trees, belching piles of damp powder that smelled of banished ghosts. Water was given no honor. The earth lay stripped and silent, a cycle of 10,000 years broken forever. Now the rows of sterile houses stand, plastic radishes in red dirt. Neo-human habitat, where the oak forest, last seen in March, was gone by April. Not even the elevation remained. I saw a dead rabbit on the street and five quail standing confused and homeless in the dust. A man's mind, fueled by money, has more power than God.
You're right. That is sad. And it really... The whole idea of encroaching on an unnatural habitat, and it can be so devastating. And it's interesting the names that we give these places after the habitat has been destroyed. And it reminded me of what Wolf Creek up in Northern California. I bet there are no wolves.
No
there.
Wolves. No.
Or Quail Run or Bear Hole.
Right.
We killed it.
Oakland. Can you imagine what Oakland must have been like before it turned into a huge city?
Orange County. Yes.
Wow.
So now we're going to listen to a cut off your CD.
Yeah.
And it's called Limited Edition Ninja?
Yes, correct.
Oh, so we just hear it?
Or? We are changing. Yeah, it's a song I wrote for my daughter when she turned 16. We do a lot of river rafting in whitewater in the summers, and she wanted a life jacket, and this was the life jacket she got. She got a limited edition Ninja life jacket, and so that's what this song is about.
Okay, limited edition Ninja. It's the limited edition Ninja. Down the river, down upon my little Ninja. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and brown. She says she loves the water, especially when it's white. In her limited edition Ninja, she's gonna be all right. Float along, little Ninja, float along, float along. Float along, little Ninja, float along. Well, the limited edition Ninja is a genuine Tad 3. Coast Guard approved life jacket, a.k.a. PFD. Red, white, and blue, and tailored, she can wear it every day. In the limited edition Ninja, she'll be styling all the way. Float along, little Ninja, float along, float along. Float along, little Ninja, float along. 2, 3, and get your pedals high, I never will be dry. Gonna miss the eddy, gonna float right by. She was going down the canyon, the water was big. She looked a bit like Dolly Parton, but she didn't have a wig. She blew right through the rapids with water in her face. In her limited edition Ninja, she's gonna win the race. Float along, little Ninja, float along, float along. Float along, little Ninja, float along. Oh, the limited edition Ninja will keep you all afloat. When the guy just didn't see that rock and you're out of the boat. You might just see blue bubbles when you are way down there. But the limited edition Ninja will get you to the air. Float along, little Ninja, float along, float along. Float along, little Ninja, float along. 2, 3, get your pedals high, never will be dry. Gonna miss the eddy, gonna float right by. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, the limited edition Ninja is on my baby girl. She's 16 and she's burly, she's a genuine river pearl. It might just be that one day she'll float down to the sea. In a limited edition Ninja, well, anything can be. Float along, little Ninja, float along, float along. Float along, little Ninja, float along. 2, 3, get your pedals high, never will be dry. Gonna miss the eddy, gonna float right by.
That's just great. That's really, really, really great. We're all smiling now. I mean, laughing and smiling. That has such an upbeat. It's great.
We had to do something fun.
So we're also changing themes, and we're going to outer space. Is that right?
We are going to outer space.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And outer space isn't nearly as heavy duty either. So poems?
Sure.
Okay. So I write poems. I like to write poems about space. I like to write poems about planets. I like to write poems about time and true time and songs about that. So this one's called Not Venus Today, and I like this poem. On Venus there is heat, pressure and acid. No, I won't go there with you today. The Russians went in 1975 looking for a dance partner and left a reckless wad of ruined metal and its camera taken and the film pulled out. Its final plea were pictures of rocks from a warping lens, then nothing. No, Venus isn't kind. She sits like a yellow sister and pouts in retrograde. But there are nights when the snow picks up her scent and calls her beautiful. She phases like any moody woman. Venus isn't holy. She is possessed. She celebrates distance with light. Your volcanic soul, a malevolent underworld. But from my mountain here, your crescent is delicate perfection, a distant beauty, a distant jewel. And that is the Venus poem.
Ooh, I like it.
And I will not go there.
You're not going to Venus?
Not to Venus, no. I'll go to Mars, maybe.
So do you have a series of planet poems?
I'm working on planet I've got a song about Neptune, a poem about that refers to Neptune, a song about Mars, poem about Venus. So kind of a collection of poetry and music.
And so what are you going to do next?
This one's called Waiting for a Nova Event, and this poem I love because what it's predicated on the theory. There's this great theory that human evolution is driven, one of the things that drives it is when there is a supernova and those cosmic rays, have you ever heard this? Come flying through space and they pass right through us. They pass right through our planet, right through our bodies because they're so small that we don't interfere with their path. But sometimes they will go blast right through the mitochondria and change the genetic structure so that if there's a supernova, it can actually cause mutations. And most of them will get kicked out. Some of them will take, and evolution will be spurred by supernovas. I love this theory. I just think it's a beautiful thing because it hooks us directly into the universe. And so this is called Waiting for a Nova Event. I wait for a nova event in some nearby star. Wait for the day it blows outward orange fire. And we might see it in the daytime, like our own star above stores and streets. A nova event within 100 light years, where cascading particles change the DNA and set mutations tumbling across sleeping species. Lunchtime generated gossip over sandwiches and iced tea at presumptuous cafes all over town, how cats became something else, and children, my God, are different. I'm waiting for a nova event in my neighborhood where the tops of towers catch and burn while the grass below remains verdant. But there in the blurry tops of trees, I wait with the insects for the subtle vibration of stellar debris passing through layers of atmosphere into our mitochondria, becoming, loving, kicking, crying. I may give birth again, this time to dust.
And we are all part of all. Yes, we are.
I just love that theory. I love that theory. And this last one's called Pond and Sky, and it's very short. I wrote this, back to the fire theme, I wrote this at Camp Latiez, which is gone. It's
I was
dust.
There once, yeah. And so it's gone now.
It's gone. Yeah, that fire that burned up through Manton took Camp Latiez with it, so that was sad. Anyway, Pond and Sky, there's a beautiful pond there. There is a bullfrog here. His voice oscillates above the wind. It is all I know of him. They say when we get to Neptune, there will be diamonds in the rain. I am glass.
Oh.
And that's that. That's a title of the chapbook that's in called Pond and Sky.
So are you going to do a song for us now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'll do this one about Neptune. This is a song about Neptune. And you would not ever know it, but from the title is Small Cafe with a Real Steel Drum. It's on the CD, but it's about Neptune. Mm-hmm. When out past Jupiter, Neptune swings on a giant string. Blue and all alone it goes, a beautiful place, well, I suppose. Just a planet on its own, way out past the inhabitable zone. It can sing as it draws near through thick and muffled atmosphere. No one goes there on vacation, no one calls it a sovereign nation. No one there breaks the traffic laws, no one waits for Santa Claus. No one visits the white sand beaches wearing bikinis and eating peaches. No one sends a postcard from a small cafe with a real steel drum. Far away when you look out into the stars and all about. The silence is as deep as this. The universe is like a kiss. It's unforgettable, deep and true, the way I always think of you. Alone with me upon the sand in that exotic distant land. No one goes there on vacation, no one calls it a sovereign nation. No one there breaks the traffic laws, no one waits for Santa Claus. No one visits the white sand beaches wearing bikinis and eating peaches. No one sends a postcard from a small cafe with a real steel drum. Think of Neptune like a jewel in the bottom of an endless pool, with distance far and distance long. The universe is like a song. Let's go to Neptune for a while. Oh, I don't care if it's not in style. We can be there all alone, no, not even a telephone. No one goes there on vacation, no one calls it a sovereign nation. No one there breaks the traffic laws, and no one waits for Santa Claus. No one visits the white sand beaches drinking tequila and eating peaches. No one sends a postcard from a small cafe with a real steel drum. A small cafe with a real steel drum.
Thank you. That was lovely. I like the outer space section as well as your other ones.
Thank you.
This is Late Night Poetry Jam, and we have Sarah Hoxie in the studio with us, and we're very glad about that. And you're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM on your radio dial. And I do want to let the audience know that you're going to be playing at Kelly's, which is in downtown Reading, on March 27th, starting at 7 o'clock. And you're going to be playing with Tim Himian.
Correct, yeah.
And I think people should all go to that.
That'd be great. Love to see everybody down there.
Because you do have a CD, your new CD, Waterfall Boy, and you will have those with you at the events that you where you play.
Yes.
And so people can buy a CD at that time. But you also have a website, and it's sarahhoxie.com. That's SARAHOXIE.com, sarahhoxie.com. And you had mentioned that all the lyrics to your songs are on that website as well.
Yes, the ones that are on the CD.
Oh, good, good. So so I just want to encourage people to go down to Kelly's on March 27th and listen to Sarah and go to her website. And what we're going to do for the rest of the hour is that Sarah is going to play music for us, and that's how we're going to do our last part. So you go right ahead, Sarah.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I think the first one I'm going to do is... I'm going to do the Trinity River Love Song, which was one of the first songs I ever wrote. Oh, here on the river, things don't change too much. Winter storms bring up the water. In late spring, the miners return with their dredges, followed by steelhead and otter. Tourists are smiling and taking the pictures of daring young whitewater rafters, while rapids respond with the same ancient language, a mixture of angers and laughter. And it isn't that I don't love you now, and it isn't that you don't love me. It's just that you're like the banks of this river, and I'm flowing on to the sea. Remember the summer we lived in the Chevy, camped by the edge of the river, and we ate the berries that grew in the tailings, took what the spirit delivered. River provider and river denier, the parables told and we listened. We swam in the dark pool surrounded by morning, and naked on black rocks we glisten. And it isn't that I don't love you now, and it isn't that you don't love me. It's just that you're like the banks of this river, and I'm flowing on to the sea. Sit with my toes in the water, watching it swirling and flowing, following eddies and hearing the music, wondering where it was going. I used to throw sticks for a big German shepherd. She'd chase them and bring them back to me, but sometimes she just let them go with the river. And one day reasons came to me. And it isn't that I don't love you now, and it isn't that you don't love me. It's just that you're like the banks of this river, and I'm flowing on to the sea. See, the next one I'm going to do is I'm going to do the Bigfoot song. So this is a song I wrote about Bigfoot because, like I said, I don't write about regular stuff. And nobody ever writes songs about Bigfoot, so I had to do some serious research to write this song. Oh, left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Early in the morning before the sun silvers up the leaves of the pines, oh, they sit in a circle way out in the meadow and leave all their watermelon rinds. They sit in a circle way out in the meadow and leave all their watermelon rinds. Oh, who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. There's a girl who hikes in the mountains, She came face to face one day with a giant man. They stared at each other and then they both ran away. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Old logger will tell you about the drumming. Miner will tell you about the screams. Natives will tell you about their forest brothers who come to them in dreams. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Rainy night in November, up on Highway 96. Silhouetted in the headlight beams, and he ran off into the sticks. Oh, who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Who left the footprints down by the water? Ask the old men, they will tell you. Early in the morning before the sun silvers up the leaves of the pines, oh, they sit in a circle way out in the meadow and leave only watermelon rind. They sit in a circle way out in the meadow and leave only watermelon rind. Sit in a circle way out in the meadow and leave only watermelon rinds. That's the Bigfoot song. All right.
I like it.
Thank you.
When I lived in Chico, there was a woman who wrote Bigfoot poems, not songs, but poems, and she had four or five of them, a series.
Cool. Good. I'm glad someone is
somewhere, yes,
doing things for Bigfoot, because he really deserves it. Do we have time for one more? All right. This one is one about geologic time. It's called Wait a Million Years for Me. And I think geologic time is one of those things that people don't write nearly enough about. So, going down to the gravel bar, I'm gonna find a new way to see. Rocks come down from the mountaintops and they wait a million years for me, and I wish I were a mountainside. I wish I were at river deep. I would watch the epochs roll on by. Asleep but not asleep. Going down to the ocean side, I'm gonna find a new way to see. Water changes rock to sand. Wait a million years for me, and I wish I were a molecule rising to the golden sun, making oceans in the sky, coming back to where I'm from. Going out to the open hill, I'm gonna find a new way to see. Rocks come out of the universe and they wait a million years for me, and I wish I were a meteor, empty space so free to roam, never knowing desolation, only knowing I am home. Going out out to the edge of time. I'm gonna find a new way to see. Watch the universe unroll. Wait a billion years for me and I wish I were a speck of dust living in the eye of God. I would watch the universe unfold from the never-ending pause. Going down to the gravel bar, I'm gonna find a new way to see. Rocks come out of the mountainsides and they wait a million years for me.
Thank you, Sarah. And I really want to thank you for being with us at the studio tonight on Late Night Poetry Jam.
It's been a pleasure.
Good. I'm glad.
Very much enjoyed it.
And I want to remind the audience that they can catch Sarah on March 27th at Kelly's at 7 o'clock, downtown Reading.
That's Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar.
This is Late Night Poetry Jam. I am Pamela Spoto, poet and host on KKRN 88.5. Sarah, I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight, and why don't you just take us on out?
Well, I'll start an epic ballad then. We'll just not finish it. It's a song I wrote for my son, my older son, Ben. On the morning he was born, he said to me, I'm a waterfall boy, oh mama, can't you see? And I belong in a place where there's water and stone, 'cause I'm a waterfall boy, it's way down inside my bones. So he grew up big and he grew up tall, with the disposition of a waterfall. He had a whole lot of big and a whole lot of proud and a whole lot of air and a whole lot of loud. And the canyons run deep and the rivers wild through the priceless heart of a waterfall child. The salmon, to the snake and the green, to the deepest canyons he had ever seen. He met the rattlesnake, he heard the canyon run, and he stood up on the sandstone. He watched the storms roll in. And the canyons run deep, and the rivers wild, through the priceless heart of a waterfall child.